Time now for the rural news with Sally Murphy in Ōtautahi. Kia ora, Sally. And it's hoped the latest COVID variant won't have an impact on trade.
Kia ora, Marnie. That's right. The new Omicron coronavirus variant is being discovered in more countries, and many are placing bans on travellers from southern Africa where it was first discovered. The COVID pandemic has caused havoc for trade, causing huge headaches for our primary industry exporters. Lockdowns in countries has caused decreased demand for some New Zealand products, like venison and seafood. New Zealand International Business Forum Executive Director Stephen Jacoby says a return to lockdowns in our major markets would be negative.
I still see a lot of risk out there. Obviously, this latest Omicron variant, you know, is worrying. We don't quite know how bad it is yet or what impact it will have, but we're still in for a bit of a rocky ride, I think.
Do you think the new variant will affect exports from New Zealand?
Well, I think it's too early to say just yet. You know, obviously, if our markets, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere, go into lockdown, that has all sorts of impacts on supply chains and on the ability of consumers to buy our products. But as I said again, our traders have proved remarkably resilient. So let's hope that that continues.
The new Omicron variant has also caused the postponement of the World Trade Organization's ministerial conference, which was due to take place in Geneva this week. Mr. Jacoby says some things which were going to be discussed would have had huge benefits for industries here, so the postponement is a blow.
One was the elimination of fishing subsidies that the WTO has been talking about for years, and the other one, critically for our farmers, was consideration of reducing significantly the domestic support or subsidies available for agriculture. And that's obviously a big one for our industries.
Stephen Jacoby. Minister for Trade and Agriculture Damien O'Connor was due to attend the conference and was already in Europe, but due to the postponement, he will travel home tomorrow. Farmers on the Hauraki Plains are being urged to check their water lines and troughs for leaks as water supplies remain lower than usual. The Hauraki District Council says the reservoir is sitting at roughly 60% capacity following 3 years of lower than average rainfall. Puarua Farms have 9 dairy farms, a blueberry orchard, a dry stock block and 2 cropping operations that all rely on the council's water scheme. Its chief executive, Jenna Smith, says they're already preparing for summer.
So we look to summer tolerant feeds. So we've been planting summer turnips and sorghum as a supplementary feed through summer. We've also been conserving feed through the spring when we know that we will grow grass and can grow a lot of it. We've been conserving that then so that we've got a good supply of feed banked as we head into the summer. You know, we can look at our milking practices to alleviate some of the stresses on cows. Heat stress is, you know, no good for milk production and no good for animal health. So we can look at our milking practices and reduce down to 16-hour milkings or 3-and-2 milkings or once a day. So we've got a few options up our sleeve that we can roll out if and when we need to.
Jenna Smith says they have about 5,000 cows that require 100 litres of water each a day. Now, the Hauraki Plains are not the only dry part of the country. NIWA's latest hotspot watch says the driest soils across the North Island, when compared to normal for this time of the year, are in coastal Wairarapa. In the south, the Ashburton district is very dry as well. Farming leaders are welcoming moves to make the conversion of stewardship land an easier process. There is 2.5 million hectares of stewardship land, land which needs to be assessed and reclassified based on its conservation values. But the sheer size of land and lack of resources means hardly any has been reclassified in the past 30 years. In May, the government announced it would speed up the process, and now the Department of Conservation has released a discussion document on proposed law changes to make the process more efficient and effective. Federated Farmers environmental spokesperson Chris Allen says change is well overdue.
Federated Farmers has been involved with many issues, and particularly around where farmers have got really good biodiversity on their land, and they look over the fence and they see some of the stewardship land, which has very similar values to productive land. So we're trying to find ways that farmers can look at swapping, leasing, or whatever.
So do you know of farmers that want to either lease or buy some of the land?
Particularly on the West Coast, there's been many that have been looking at what they can do on some of that land, trying to come up with swap arrangements, but it's just been really hard and complex process. So the first steps is getting the process right, making sure it's streamlined, that it looks after all the right interests, and it's an efficient process. Then I'm sure the farmers that are adjoining some of those blocks of land will say, gosh, this could be an opportunity here.
That's Chris Allen. And finally, the lead investigator of a nationwide fight against wilding pines says it's vital work continues towards eradicating them. Before 2016, wildings were estimated to be invading roughly 90,000 hectares each year. That same year, a five-year government-funded research program, Winning Against Wildings, was launched in a bid to control the trees nationwide by 2030. The program has found new techniques for controlling the pines, such as drones which detect and map invasions in remote areas, and the use of low-dose herbicides. The program's principal investigator, Dr. Dwayne Peltzer, says good progress has been made to control wilding pines, but more work is needed. He says without control, wilding pines could invade 28% of New Zealand's total land area within 35 years. So it's important collaborations to eradicate and control wildings continue. And that's the rural news for today. Ko ira te porongo o te tai whenua.